goes on. As we said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches a gospel besides what you received, let them be accursed. Whew. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I would not be the servant of Christ. And brothers, I make known to you the gospel preached by me that is not according to man. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came from a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you heard my way of life when I was in Judaism with the surpassing zeal, I persecuted the assembly of God and ravaged it. As I progressed in Judaism beyond my contemporaries in my race, being much more a zealot of the traditions of my ancestors, but when God was pleased, he having separated me from my mother's belly, having called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. Can I tell you something? God wants to reveal his son in you. He wants to reveal his son in you. Isn't that awesome? That I might preach him among the nations. Immediately I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to the apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to learn from Peter and remained with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles except James, the brother of the Lord. And what I write to you, behold, before God, I do not lie. I went into the regions of Syria, but I was not known by face to the assemblies of Judea and Christ, but only that they were hearing that he who had persecuted us now is preaching the gospel and faith in the very faith which he had ravaged, and they glorified God in me. I like this. Then through 14 years, I again went to Jerusalem with Barnabas and taking Titus with me. I went up according to revelation, and I put before them the gospel which I proclaim in all the nations, and privately to the ones seeming to be the pillars, lest I should run and run in vain. But not even Titus, the one with me, a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Okay, in Jewish tradition, the baby men were circumcised. And that made them, that set them apart from other nations. Okay? It was a symbol to God that this is a Jewish, this person belongs to Jehovah God. All right? So, he's talking here, he goes, but now even Titus, the one with me, a Greek, was compelled, to be circumcised. But it was because of these false brothers stealing in, who stole and despise on our freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, they wanting to enslave us, to whom yet even for an hour we did not yield in subjection, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those seeming to be something, of what kind they were, that does not matter to me. God knows, God does not accept the face of man. But for those seeming to be important, they brought nothing to me, he says. But on the contrary, seeing that I have been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcision, even as Peter to the circumcision. What he's saying, Paul is saying, God is sending me to the non-Jew. Peter gets to go to the Jews. Peter goes to people who are brought up and raised Jewish. Paul is saying, I'm an apostle being sent to the non-Jews. People have different callings. They have different people they're called to reach. Amen. Different people that they are anointed and called by God to reach. We're not to compare ourselves one to another. We're just to find out, what's my calling? Who has he given me to reach? What's a little hilarious here is Paul was the Jew of all Jews, and God said, nope, you go to the Gentiles. You can't even base it on who he cared and loved for so much. He basically said, I'd give up my salvation if all my Jewish brothers could save. Wow. I haven't gotten anywhere close to wanting to give up my salvation for everybody else. I don't want to burn in hell forever and ever. I'm thankful God made an escape, and I'm just glad that I can tell people about it. I don't have to take I can't replace him in that. Amen? But here's this heart of compassion. Paul's like, I just want my brother saved. And God says, you get to go to the Gentiles. The people you've been killing, the people you've hated, the people you look down on, the people you never understood. God knows how to kill us. Amen? God knows how to give us compassion for real. So he says, for the working in Peter to be apostle of the circumcision also worked in me to the nations. And knowing the grace given to me, that's what we need to understand. Knowing the grace. Remember, grace is God's empowerment to bring forth his promises. And we can never earn it. Knowing the grace given to me, James and John, though seeming to be pillars, gave right hands of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we go to the nations, but they to the circumcision, only that we might remember the poor, which same thing I was eager to do. And when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. Now listen to this. What he's saying is, look, I went to your big shots. I went to Peter. I went to John. I went to the guys who hung out with Jesus. And I told them about Jesus. I told them my revelations. I told them what God had showed me. And they had to sit there. Boy, this would hardly even happen in the church today. These people were not undercovering. Amen? These people had... Paul was a brand new move of God. Paul was the first one who didn't hang out with Jesus, who was seeing Jesus and hearing from the Holy Spirit and learning the same things the apostles learned hanging out with Jesus for 3.5 years. And he went in, and they did, even though he'd been murdering Jews, boy, talk about, come on. How many know that we're nowhere close to what the early church was like? And everybody thinks this is a finale? You got to be kidding. If you could even get in the room with somebody who thinks they're all apostles these days and say anything, and they'd listen, it would be a miracle. Who was killing people, literally murdering them. Their worst enemy comes in, sets up a meeting with the big boys of the now movement of God. And by the time he finished talking and sharing and revealing, they had so much Holy Ghost in them, they recognized he was of God. How amazing is that? And he recognized, there's got to be unity here, or this isn't going to go where God wants it to go. Wow. Well, there's a lot to be done in the church. Oh, Lord, it'll be fun watching you do it, as you are able. So he says, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. Okay, so you're recognizing he's saying he's a pillar. But now he's saying, okay, all this happened. But Peter, who is probably the most known, powerful apostle, maybe he's the one that Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead. He's the one whose shadow heals. Amen. We're talking this man, Peter, was very anointed and called by God. Amen. And people knew that. There's a fear of the Lord around this man. And here is Paul, the new kid on the block, even though he's probably older. Here's Paul coming to Peter and saying, hey, you're wrong. He rebuked an elder that everybody looked up to and thought was awesome. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was to be blamed. Oh my gosh. Lord, when we could have all this freedom back in the church. For before some came from James, he's saying, here's what Peter did. He's sitting there eating whatever he wanted to eat, hanging out. And then James brings some of these so-called apostles who want to bring us into bondage. And when they came, here Peter, he backs down, separates himself, being afraid of what they're going to think about him eating like a non-Jew. And he said, the rest of the Jews dissembled with him. Even Barnabas was led away with their dissembling. In other words, they all kind of started listening to this false doctrine and this intimidating doctrine, trying to make them feel like they were doing something wrong. And he said, but when I saw that they did not walk uprightly with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before all, oh, it's biblical. Oh, anyway. He says to Peter before all, everybody there, Peter, can everybody get that the church is messed up? Can everybody get we live under so much baloney? These people were led by the Spirit of God. Paul walks up, and believe me, he does it in an honoring way, or God wouldn't bless him and honor him. But God's more concerned about truth than he is about each person's feelings. Amen? God's more concerned about his word going forth, the gospel being preached clearly and truthfully, than he is about every person's little personality problem. Amen? Is it in there? Anymore? You read books. This is how you do it. You can't even give me a scripture for that. Don't ever prophesy. You can prophesy anything God wants to say. My gosh, a prophet comes up to Paul at one point, puts his hands in bondage and says, you're going to prison, basically. You'd be rebuking the devil all over the place in the church today. God can only say edification. God can say anything he wants. We just need to become people who recognize the anointing and discern the anointing and see what the heart is behind it and what God is doing. And then it's going to come to pass. Amen? And then Paul was ready for it. There's something about being ready for stuff. All right. Anyway. This is not what I was going to preach, but I'm getting there. All right. When I saw that they did not walk uprightly with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before all of them, if you being a Jew live like a heathen and not as the Jews, why do you compel the nations to become like Jews? Is everybody getting this? Peter is buying these lies. Not Peter. Yeah, Peter's buying these lies that, oh, maybe we should make them get circumcised. Oh, maybe they should have to have Sabbath on Saturday night. Oh, maybe they shouldn't celebrate Christmas because it's not the real holiday. Oh, maybe we should do this. Oh, maybe we need to not. Do you get what I'm saying? They're going back to law. So these guys are coming in and they're going, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Okay, Gentiles, you can be part of us, but you got to get circumcised. You're going to have to follow the rules. You're going to have to do this the way we've done it from our ancestors. Amen? And this is hilarious. Here's Paul. Paul was the top of the top of the top of the top of Jewish leaders. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He did everything. He had every duck in a row. And he's the one God would go to Peter and say, hey, why are you trying to get the heathens to live like Jews when we live more like heathens than when we were living like Jews? He's kind of saying the heathens have more freedom than all the rules and regulations that the Jews have been trying to follow. And now you're trying to put them back in regulations. I'm getting to a point. I really pray God breaks it off of you that being a Christian is about trying to follow rules. I pray that you get that this is about being led by the Spirit of the living God. Period. That's what it's about. And the Word of God is, He puts life on this. He puts life on this. So you preach what needs to be preached and you can find what you need to find. You know how to do things, but not in legalism. Amen? I mean, I'm telling you, He's shaking it all. He's shaking it all. He's showing me some of the things I was worried about and fearing and trying to work out were things I was trying to put legalistically because it says in one book this and one book that, and how does this fit with this? And so you begin to think, how can this person be doing this or that person be doing that? How could, you know, God, where does this line up? Am I saying don't read the Word of God? No. I'm telling you, you can't live in your brain following rules and regulations and trying to be the good Christian. It brings death. It brings death. This is all about a relationship with God by His Spirit that brings life. And then the Word will happen in your life. Then it will make sense to you. Then you'll begin to understand the heart of God. He doesn't care if it's Saturday or Sunday or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That you take a day and rest and hang out with Him. You need it, not Him. He's living in there. He expects every day to be a day of rest. If He's the only one doing anything and you're just saying yes, sir, and doing it, you're going to have a ride of your life and you even won't have stress. All this legalism stops us from getting there. Amen? All this legalism brings death. God's showing you why there's so much death in so many parts of your life. All right. He goes on, Galatians 2:15, we Jews by nature and are not sinners of the nations, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but that it is through faith in Jesus Christ. We also believed in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of law, because all flesh will not be justified by works of law. All right. Your need to feel loved, your need to feel important, your need to try to do everything right, your need to feel okay about yourself, every bit of that keeps you under the curse and keeps you working out of the law and not out of the Spirit. And you can look like the best little Christian. You can have the greatest Bible study group. You can have the biggest church. You can have this, that, and the other. But do you get what I'm saying? You put yourself under a curse and your family under a curse when what you're doing it out of your brain. Of course, if what I'm doing out of my brain looks like the Bible, it's going to look better than if what I'm doing out of my brain looks like something ridiculously New Age or evil. Amen? But to God, it's the same thing in the New Covenant. In the New Covenant, He doesn't want you living out of your brain. Everybody's like, I don't get it. I'm trying to figure this out with my brain. Amen. Here's the hard part. You're like, wait a minute, I think I could do it if I could do it with my brain. No, you can't. Jesus had to die because you can't. I look around here, come on, we ain't even the good Jew type. You know what I'm saying? I mean, y'all, we'd have a hard time even getting close. Amen? He's saying this isn't what the gospel's about. This isn't what the gospel's about. It's going to keep you in so much bondage. If seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves also are found to be sinners. Is Christ then a minister of sin? Let it not be. For what if I build again the things which I destroyed? I confirm myself as a transgressor. For through the law I die to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I live. Yet no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live it by faith towards the Son of God, the one loving me and giving himself over on my behalf. I do not set aside the grace of God, for it is righteousness. If righteousness is through law, then Christ died without a cause. Oh, foolish Galatians. This is where I wanted to get to, but that was good. Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you not to obey the truth? To whom before your eyes Jesus Christ was written before you among was written among you crucified. He's saying, look, when you go under the law, when you put yourself in bondage of doing everything right and trying to figure this stuff out and trying to figure out how to do this, you actually are under a spirit of witchcraft. And can I say, when you're under a spirit of witchcraft, you have no authority over a spirit of witchcraft? Okay, bewitchment. When you live under the law, when you let me say it this way, when you allow somebody to come in and bring you under the law, they have to use the spirit of witchcraft to do that. And you've been bewitched. And if you walk in a place of being bewitched, you have no authority over witchcraft. And can I just tell you, the whole world right now is under such a power of witchcraft. And when I say the whole idea of witchcraft here is demonic influence on people and their decisions and what they're doing and the things they're seeing around them. Amen? And this kind of bewitchment he's talking about here sounds good. If I do this, if I do this, if I do this, if I do this, it doesn't work. You will never really, really get free by just saying, if I quit doing this. You won't get free. If you recognize I'm by God's grace, I'm fasting this. By his spirit helping me, I'm fasting this bad habit because I'm going to get free from it. And you get the mindset that God's going to set me free. Amen? You get the mindset God's going to set me free. The key here is God. Amen? God's got to do this. I've got to cooperate with him by being obedient. Amen? I've got to agree with him against evil. Amen? I've got to agree with him. But if I got all my self-esteem from my brain, well, I was so smart and I did this and I can do that. You need to bury that in Jesus' name. Amen? Because your brain is not close, even close, not even my fingernail. Here, this one broke off. Not even my fingernail close to the mind of Christ. Your gigantic brain can't even get close to the mind of Christ that I'm walking in. Your brain, the biggest genius brain cannot get close to the mind of Christ a five-year-old walks in. You got to make a decision. Do I want to live in the mind of Christ? Or do I want to still think I can do this stuff myself? Can I tell you the relief when you hang out with God and let him do it? Amen? That doesn't mean he didn't give you the brain he gave you. It doesn't mean you went and got the education you needed and all this kind of stuff. It's not all for nothing. It's so God can talk to you through it. It's so God can show you what to do through it. It's so God can use you to influence people who will listen to you. Amen? But it's never to take the place of Holy Spirit. And it's never to take the place to make you feel superior. Superior to what? Somebody else he created in his image and his likeness? O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you not to obey the truth, to whom before your eyes Jesus Christ was written before you crucified? This only I desire to learn from you. And here's the question. Did you receive the Spirit by works of law or hearing of faith? So he's saying, did you receive the Holy Spirit into your heart, into your spirit, into your life by the law or by faith? You can't get it by law. Holy Spirit will only come in when in faith you accept Jesus Christ as Lord. When in faith you receive His Spirit. When in faith, which means this makes no sense. Nobody can see this. Nobody understands this. But I just believe. There's something going on inside of my heart that makes me believe this. It's called faith. You only need a mustard seed of it. Amen? So he's saying here, so he goes on, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, do you now perfect yourself in the flesh? Can I put this out there for people who come to Make It Real Tuesdays, which are awesome? You can't then go home and try to beat yourself up trying to perfect yourself. You can't go home and figure out everything wrong you've ever said, ever done to you, anything you read here or there. Do you understand that? You can't live your life waiting till you perfect yourself in the flesh, because you can't perfect yourself in the flesh. You don't even have to think about stuff until He tells you to think about stuff. Amen? That's why preaching and teaching are so powerful. That's why reading the Word and the anointing is awesome. When I read the Word and the anointing, something jumps off the page at me, I'm not thinking about it. He's showing me. And then I do use my brain to what? Go look it up in the dictionary. I don't sit there and go, oh, dictionary, bring it up. You start doing that mess, you're conjuring up demons. Amen? A lot of this stuff and signs and wonders stuff you're seeing, people are conjuring up stuff. That's a scary thing. I don't want to conjure anything up. Amen? I just want God. But then he works with me, and he uses my brain to communicate to me, amen? And he goes, well, look this up. And then you look it up, and then something jumps off the page. Oh, I get it. Or you're just riding your bike, and you see something, and all of a sudden God started prophetically showing you stuff. That's using your brain, amen? That's how he wants to use your brain. Here we go. You ready? Are you so foolish? Everybody say no. Having begun in the Spirit, do you now perfect yourself in the flesh? When you see yourself perfecting yourself in the flesh, stop. You will live your life trying to find out what's wrong with you. I don't want you coming in here asking me what's wrong with you. Amen? I was like, okay. Next time, ask me what's right with you. Let Him sanctify you by His Spirit when He wants to. Let Him convict you. Let Him show you. Just be teachable. Be open. Amen? You cannot perfect yourself by your flesh. I don't think I would have ever seen where He said I was bringing myself under the law and a curse. I honestly just don't even think I'd ever see that. I know I've preached it right. I know in my heart it was right. But you know what happened? When the finances started getting a little wavy, and when stuff happened at home, all of a sudden my little brain went back and looked for a reason based on the law. And I could look at what was easy to see. Amen? And so I repented. So the Lord said to me, He said, Cindy, it's not about what stops the devourer in the new covenant is being in right standing with Christ. And if you're mature enough and God starts putting it on your heart that you ought to love the kingdom of God, you should want the word to be preached, you should want to gladly support ministers coming and speakers coming, you should be excited to give and keep these doors open, you should be all in because you love God and you know He'll take care of you, you know His blessings are true, you know He's a God of multiplication, and you can't wait to give. Then tithing will not be under the law. It'll be in faith. Amen? You will not grow. If you're growing as a believer, you will quit. You won't murder people. You'll quit cussing. You'll tithe. You'll do all the things the law says in Christ. He'll get you there. It's not your brain deciding to do it. Do you understand the difference? But as soon as you start to get shaken a little bit, all of a sudden you'd be amazed how fast you might be bewitched and go back to trying to do this stuff in the flesh. And then you become a judge. And then you start seeing scripture through the wrong lens. Does this make sense? I say, oh, Lord, I couldn't believe it when he showed it to me. I say, how goofy is that, putting myself under a curse, bringing the ministry under a curse? Can I tell you in his mercy, I saw it as about when he's revealing it, so nothing major has happened, praise God. And I know what he's doing, he's doing. I know it's going to be increased. I know he's going to fill up all the chairs. I know he's going to get a hold of people's hearts, and people are going to want to continue to be generous and to be blessed and watch him do his thing. Amen? It's amazing. This is what Paul's saying. You know, all that teaching back then, when I set you free from serving the spirit of the fear of mammon and worrying about money, I set you free from all that. And then I had to correct you because of the pride of life. All of a sudden, you just thought you could get any money you wanted any time. You begin to take my place, and you begin to solve people's problems instead of them running to me. So I held back. But then when I held back, you flipped the other way and started thinking, oh, no, you know, now I got to be careful and watch everything I'm doing. And then you begin to want to put people under the law because you wondered where the money was. And the whole time I'm saying, will you stop already? Just hang out with me. Talk with me. Let me show you what to do. Let me teach you. How many knows? Can I tell you, honestly, get a hold of this. You have gone through layers of part of the stuff he's setting you free from, but you still got layers to go. So get past a lie that you've done this already. Amen? Can I just say nobody's done anything already? Amen? The more you think you've done it, the hotter he puts the fire, and then those little tiny impure things that normally would never even show up come to the surface. Amen? I would love to think we've done it already. And then, but you know what? I think we will continually be changed into his likeness from glory to glory until we see him face to face. And we're asking to be his bride without spot or blemish. I mean, we're seriously in this house, and are we seeking that, recognizing that's not a cute little title. That's a sincere, Holy Spirit sanctified people. Amen? Does anybody think that sounds like it's going to be a joyride? Well, it will be joyful and peaceful after you get in his will. Amen? All right. Now listen. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, do you now perfect yourself in the flesh? Do you suffer so much vainly, if indeed it was in vain? Okay, then he supplying the spirit to you. I love this. And this is what Clark and I were talking about a little bit in different terminology. He supplying the spirit to you and working works of power in you. Is it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Everybody get this. God supplies the spirit to us, and God is working works of power in us by faith. And that faith, get this, that's not automatically there. How many know God lives inside of them? Raise your hand. Okay. How many know knowing God lives inside of you, your life doesn't quite always, let's just say your life really doesn't look like God lives inside of you. Amen? Like if somebody's looking at you, go, when you see me, you see God. They're going to be, oh, Lord, I'm just going to go find. Amen? Amen? How many say it's getting better? Amen? Get ready to put on your tennis shoes because times are heating up. We're going to get there fast. Amen? Faster than we've been. Okay. Here's the key to that. His spirit is already inside of you if by faith you ask his spirit to come in and fill you. Amen? His spirit has all the power that anyone could ever even begin to contain in a human body. But it's by your faith, the hearing of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith doesn't come by just hoping. Well, real hope is earnest expectation. But the worldly way of, well, you know, I'm just hoping this will happen. I'm just hoping I'll be well. I'm just thinking I'll be well. I'm going to think my, you won't think yourself out of a paper bag. You cannot think away a headache. You cannot think away disease. Your thinking is totally irrelevant in the sense of having power. Amen?